racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, finally it's here, the fifth most important championship on the golf calendar. It's called the Players. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geeks on Twitter. Jay, welcome to the PGA Tour's Showcase Championship.
Yeah, and I wonder if every other year it's the sixth most important championship, thinking of the Ryder Cup. But it is a tournament that stands alone. It is these guys' championship. The PGA Tour does everything they can to focus on this week, and I know you're going to enjoy it a lot.
I really am, and one thing I'm happy about, and I don't even know how you feel on this, but you know, maybe 10 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I don't remember exactly, there seemed to be a huge initiative on behalf of the PGA Tour to get this event referred to as the fifth major.
Yep.
I was against that, but I have to admit, that seems to have vanished from the scene.
Yeah, I think, you know, at least in the men's game, I mean, they got five on the Champions Tour and five on the LPGA. We're traditionalists. We know what the four major championships are, and there are four of them. And like I said, in a sense, this stands alone because it's the Tour's biggest tournament. It's their showcase event. And I'm glad they kind of backed off that and trying to push that, because it's a great event on its own. It's at a magnificent golf course that's always changing. And depending on what the wind does and the time of year you play it, it's a different type of golf course. So I agree with you, Bob. I'm glad that they realize that there's no need to call it a major or the fifth major. It's one of the biggest tournaments in golf.
Well, that big tournament is what we're going to focus on today's show and everything that goes with it. It's been a very festive early week. We had the commissioner of the PGA Tour in speaking to the media, and boy, did he have some good news. We'll get to that all a little later. But I think, Jay, what we have to do is wrap up the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Tyrrell Hatton, a feisty 28-year-old from England, managed somehow to control his emotions and show off his tremendous skills and record his first win on the PGA Tour. We're going to hear from Hatton in a moment, but the highlight of that press conference, Jay, and I think you'll get a chuckle out of this, because Hatton turned to the PGA media official and said, "How many year exemption do I get by winning this?" And the answer was, "You get 3 years." And Hatton says, "Wow, 3 years. I mean, so you had somebody playing in the event, Jay, and didn't even know what one of the key prizes was going to be."
Well, and it's a huge prize, and it's a huge win for him. Because of the 3 year exemption, because where it takes him in the world rankings, you had a lot of guys. I mean, you had the previous week's winner challenging him. You had Mark Leishman, who I think you could argue is along with a group of, you know, three or four guys, the best that hasn't won a major championship, on that golf course, playing that difficult. It was tremendous. Another showing of a Florida swing golf course that tests these guys big time.
No, it really did. And here's what Mr. Hatton had to say following that victorious round.
Incredible feeling to win on the PGA Tour, to do it at such a iconic venue that I've grown up watching this event as a kid on TV, and to be sitting here next to the trophy now is an amazing feeling, and very thankful I managed to hold on at the end. You know, coming into this week, I didn't have any exemptions, so when the season starts, you are kind of just playing to keep your status for the following year. Obviously, I'm trying to juggle both tours, which is never easy, and I'm normally playing around 16, 17 events, so that makes things certainly a little bit tougher to try and keep your status over here, where most of the guys will probably be doing mid-20s. So to wrap that up and 3-year exemption, well, that's amazing. So obviously I kind of know where I'm at now for a while, which is great, and hopefully I can push on and keep climbing the FedEx.
Well, I've gotten to know Mr. Hatton over the last couple of years, Shay. I'm proud to tell you, a real good guy, down to earth. And I was thinking, how much money could we have made saying that Hatton was going to win on the PGA Tour before Tommy Fleetwood?
Very interesting that you bring that up. Yeah. That Fleetwood had was the flavor of the day. Hatton had proved that he was capable, but this was gigantic for him. And we'll see where it takes him. You could hear in his voice that ease that comes with being able to not worry about your schedule, so that you can make sure you're getting enough FedEx Cup points to stay in the top 125.
He becomes the first Englishman, and strangely enough, the fifth consecutive international winner of the Arnold Palmer, Jason Day, Mark Leishman, Rory McIlroy, Francisco Molinari, and now Tyrrell Hatton. That's unique.
Well, and you also see a lot of them play well at PGA National. And you'll probably see some of them again play well at the Players. And I don't exactly know the rhyme or reason, because those golf courses aren't necessarily like they are abroad. I mean, wherever you are almost, maybe to a certain extent, a little bit like the Australian area, and you know that very well. So, I want to talk about Rory for a moment. Luckily for me, he did not fire on Sunday, and it helped my DraftKings team because he wasn't in the mix for a lot of people. Again, a tie for fifth. We talked last year, Bob, about him talking about his consistency. His consistency has continued, but he's not firing on Sundays. It's just a fact. It'll be interesting this week as we start to look inside the Players' Championship. If he puts him in position again on a Sunday, what type of response we get from him in a elevated event.
Yeah, we have to keep in mind, nobody has ever successfully defended here at the Players. And I have a oddball theory of Rory McIlroy. You can agree with me, Jay, or maybe you'll say Bupka's crazy. But Rory McIlroy right now, I mean, everything, and I mean everything that Rory's doing is pointing towards Magnolia Lane to win the Masters, to become the sixth player in history to have won all four majors. So I don't think he's getting disappointed by not winning, because he's keeping himself there. He's in position, and that Masters Sunday, he may say, okay, now it's time to fire.
Well, and let's remember the last time he played in a major championship, the amount of pressure that was on him in Northern Ireland, and we know what happened in day one. And he was on fire last year, Bob, and I even was wondering the same thing last year. As he won the Players, did he peak too early? You're right. He's not getting what you would call upset with not hoisting the trophy. He's appreciating that consistency. So I tend to agree with you that like many of the best players in the world, he is pointing towards Augusta. I just hope he doesn't put too much into that.
Well, meanwhile, on the PGA Tour champions, Mr. Randolph, Ernie Els put a lot into it. Only his third start on the PGA Tour champions. He comes away with a victory. I was speaking to his manager, Rob Goulet, who I've known for a long time, and he said Ernie Els was absolutely over the moon with that victory. You know, last time Ernie won was way back in 2013. And when you're a Hall of Fame player with the credentials of an Ernie Els, to go 7 years without tasting victory, it doesn't taste very good.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. This guy, he don't need to play. I mean, he's got all the dough that Bob and I could spend in a year in Vegas. I mean, he's got that kind of money. So he's playing to play. He wants to win. And Bob, you bring up a great point. You know, whether a guy hadn't won on the PGA Tour since his junior days, or, you know, to winning is what it's about. And that's why Ernie's been playing, and he came close at the playoff in Hawaii and didn't get it done. And this is a nice win for him. You know, he's going to play 14 events on the PGA Tour Champions. I hope he plays in the one we're going to have here in St. Louis at Norwood Hills Country Club. Nice to see a nice guy and a Hall of Famer out there for the people to come watch and play. Ernie Els getting a W.
Yeah, nobody any nicer than Ernie Els. And a couple of nice people have been rewarded with something extra special. And I'm talking about Gary Player, Jay, along with Annika Sorenstam, both being presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom at the White House, really deserving of both those individuals.
We know both of them. And when we saw it, we went, that's right. They deserve it. Gary, the world traveler, the only people that have flown more than this guy are astronauts. I mean, he's played all over the world. He's promoted the game, one of the game's greatest players, Grand Slam winner. Annika, I first met her in 1991 at Hilton Head when she was playing in the NCAA championships. She and her husband, Mike, the way that they showed how much their appreciation was, Bob, it was like winning a major champion, another major for these two guys, two people. I think it's great. They're wonderful people for our game.
Very well said, Jay. And when we come back, we're going to preview the players.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com. Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. I'm in St. Louis. Bob Bupka is at the Players Championship, and you can find Bob online on Twitter at Bob Bupka, VOG. You can find me at STL Golf Geek. And if you're ever in the metropolitan St. Louis area and the weather's nice, you want to play golf, come see me at Gateway National Golf Links. Well, I wish I was with Bob in Jacksonville at the TPC Sawgrass. Bob, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, this is the showcase event for the PGA Tour.
No doubt about it, Mr. Randolph. And let me run this up your flagpole. Of course, this is the second year now that it's being played in March instead of May. Do you like it better in March, or did you like it better in May? What are your feelings?
Always liked it better in March. Understood May, but I think things have fallen in line, and we now have this five-month stretch signature events. I think the golf course is better at this time of year because I think it can play tougher. Now, I've heard a lot that it's a little softer than we saw last week in Orlando. But I don't know. What's your thought, Bob? I like it better in March.
Well, I have to agree with you, Jay. I think it's a better event in March, this wonderful golf course. And by the way, Pete Dye, who I know you knew very well, the designer of this golf course, along with his lovely wife, Alice, this is the first one since he has passed away. There's going to be some tributes directed towards Pete Dye for the entire week. And I think this is a great golf course, and I think it's even greater in the month of March. And we're looking forward to seeing the tremendous Players Championship. Matter of fact, Rory McIlroy, as you alluded to, Jay, said it could be a little bit like target golf because it is so soft.
Well, Bob, you know, the wind will also be a factor. That's the one defense that this golf course will have if it's not playing firm. But, you know, he mentions target golf. Trust me, they're going to set that bad boy up tough. They've got those little quadrants of the greens. You know, in fact, they had to redo some of them because they had gotten to the point where they were almost unplayable, difficult level-wise. So we'll see. You know, I think if you told most of the guys right now, if they'd take 9-under, they'd say, well, where's the clubhouse?
The wind is such a great equalizer, and yeah, when the targets are so small and the wind's blowing, it just compounds the situation. Well, there's no doubt that Rory's on the right track, 6-5, top fives in a row, and what we wanted to hear from him is the path that he's using to success.
You know, I've had some really good success following this path that I'm on, and I'm just really trying to focus on doing the little things right, practicing good habits day in, day out. And, you know, if I keep doing those, then, you know, the byproduct is winning. And, yeah, I definitely don't feel like I'm too far away.
Well, he's certainly not too far away. And I hate to do this to you, Podsy, but I'm going to give you a little exam. And I got mixed emotions. Half of me says, well, he probably don't know the answer. The other half said, no way he would know the answer. Rory McIlroy now has joined Tiger Woods. The only, well, there's three players that have won at least one FedEx Cup, one Players Championship, a major, and a World Golf Championship event. There's three players that have accomplished that, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. Who's the third party?
The reason I kind of know this in a way is because we talked about Annika earlier. I'll go with, is it the Swede Henrik Stenson?
I need to get with the executive producer of this show, Janice Self. We got to come up with tougher questions for Jay. Right on the money there. But, and I don't think many people would guess that.
No.
I mean, Henrik Stenson, you know, when you just look at that, you win a FedEx Cup, you win a Players, you win a major, and you win a World Golf Championship event, you're a pretty elite player.
No doubt. I mean, you know, I know there are certain numbers, Bob, the criteria for the World Golf Hall of Fame, but damn, I mean, look at that. And Stenny's not done. So we'll see. Again, not nearly the career of Rory McIlroy, and let's not even begin to talk about Tiger Woods, but hey, this guy Henrik Stenson can play. He can golf his ball, and you know, we mentioned Tiger, and we're in this kind of what's going on zone. Tiger's going to miss the Players due to ongoing back stiffness. He says he's simply not ready, has to listen to his body. We know that the four dates on the calendar that are most important are the majors. The Players, Tiger won it twice. He will not win it this year, Bob, and he's now ranked 11th in the world.
Yeah, and of course, now the big question becomes, will Tiger play in the match play in Austin? He's going to need, I would assume, some preview event before going to try and defend his title down at Augusta. So do you think he'll play match play?
I do. I think he know. I think he likes the fact, and we saw it last year, where he knows he's going to get three rounds of golf in, and then after that, you take what happens. If he doesn't play, it starts to worry me about the long term future. Not that there was some sort of real long term future, but I guess maybe it worries me about this thing's not going to be 3 to 5 years, and it may be coming to a close. I don't know, because you got to trust him.
One of the beauties, I think, Jay, of the PGA Tour right now, and we spoke to the commissioner of the tour recently about the youth movement. How about this threesome that's going to tee you off here? Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, and Matthew Wolff. And Morikawa has never missed a cut as a professional, and he has a victory. Holy mackerel. I mean, it's hard for me to even say those things.
He was a putt away on 16 at Bay Hill to getting back into the golf tournament if he'd have made eagle. I mean, he's showing that consistency. We've talked about Sung J.M., who never sleeps, who just all he does is play every week. Morikawa, his consistency has actually been light years better than Vic Hovland and Matt Wolff. You know, Hovland wins the tournament in Puerto Rico and it goes up to PGA National and can't beat Bob Rye. So it'll be interesting to see what we see from Victor this week, but that's a featured pairing. How about this pairing? How about 1, 2, 3? Maybe 3's not necessarily playing like it. We'll see this week. But Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka. How about some star power there?
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. And they put Justin Rose with Adam Scott and Xander Schauffele. Pretty interesting. Phil Mickelson playing in his 27th Players' Championship. He won it way back in 07. He's missed the cut, though, last six of his seven attempts at TPC Sawgrass. So we'll see what Phil's bringing to the table this week. He's going to be playing with Dustin Johnson and Webb Simpson.
Well, and three guys who at one time were kind of the hot thing each. Not that they're not today. Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, and JT, Justin Thomas, playing the best of those three. Bob had a chance to chat with Justin.
Justin, it seems like just a blink ago, you were considered one of the young guns out here. I want your thoughts on this current crop of young players that come out here and they not only think they can win, they expect to win.
Am I officially out? Am I thrown out of the young crop?
Yeah, you're out.
Man, that's rough. no, it's impressive, and I mean, I think it's cool with what the tour is doing this week with pairing Victor, Matt, and Colin together. I mean, the fact that those three guys have won already is unbelievable. I don't think they probably don't even realize how impressive it is, but they also understand how talented they are, and we do too. And they're going to be out here for a long time, so it's. You can't compare to, you know, their group versus our group or another group or whatever it is. You just kind of have to respect what's coming out. And they're unbelievable players. They're very, very mature for being thrown into the spotlight. I think that's something that goes very undermentioned and underrated is that, you know, it's easy to forget that they're 21, 22 years old, I think at least. And they're handling all this very well because they're very much in the spotlight just like any of us are. And they're still playing some pretty good golf and being comfortable out here. So I think they're going to continue to do great things. And, you know, it's great to have them out here.
Well, Justin Thomas is such a class act. He would never say it out loud, but somehow I got the sensation, Jay, under his breath, he was saying, Bupka is calling me old? Something wrong with that picture.
Justin Thomas is my favorite of the young crew. I just like his moxie. You know, I don't know that Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler know that the young group of Hovland, Morikawa, and Wolff are paired together. But I thought found it interesting that Justin knew it and talked about it. Great question, Bob. No doubt about it. Ricky Fowler is in a funk. He started to show a little bit of life last week. Folks, it's a hard game. Let's not forget that. You know that when you go out and bat it around. And Ricky's struggling a little bit, Bob. It'll be interesting to see if he can get things turned around before heading to Augusta, where he seems in a good spot there.
Yeah, Jay, and I can't help but wonder when Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth get on that first tee that they don't look at one another and say, wait a minute, what's going on? I mean, Ricky Fowler was the flavor of the month for quite some time. Jordan Spieth rattled off three major championships like breaking sticks, and now all of a sudden they're not being heard from. I mean, but it's very competitive out there. Certainly not easy. Look at the threesome, Jay. Patrick Reed, Hideki Matsuyama, and Patrick Cantlay. Not many people know about Patrick Cantlay, but he may be the most talented of that threesome I just mentioned.
Well, and Reed continues to be consistent. You know, amidst all the things that have surrounded him, he's been able to be consistent. You're right on Cantlay. Matt Kuchar, who knows the golf course, well, all three of these guys, past champions. Kuchar, who knows the golf course so well. Stenson, who we talked about earlier. And Sergio, who, you know, at some point he's going to do something again. We're going to hear one more time at least from Sergio. And then, again, every time Bryson DeChambeau is paired with somebody, I look at the pairing. There's not going to be a lot of banter in this group. Gary Woodland will kind of be doing his thing. Sungjae Im will certainly be doing his. And then there's Bryson.
You know, it's amazing, Jay. Bryson publicly announced that he was going to go to the gym. He was going to bulk up. He needed to be bigger. He needed to be stronger. And now, after doing that, and all you have to do is look at him. He's probably up two shirt sizes. Bryson DeChambeau, on average, is the longest hitter on the PGA Tour. I mean, this mad scientist guy is really something else.
He's another one that had a chance on Sunday at Bay Hill. Watch out for him. This is that type of golf course that a guy that is so in tune to thinking and where to hit it and where to miss it and where do I have to put it to make it do this. This is the kind of spot where a guy like him could have a big week. Only five players have won multiple times. Tiger Woods, Fred Couples, Davis Love III, the Elk, Steve Elkington, and Hal Sutton. And again, it's hard to believe, Bob, that the tournament was in May for 12 years.
Well, Jay, you alluded to it a little while ago about how the winds can be a little bit unpredictable here in March, and certainly it doesn't come into play at any greater extent than it does at that par 3 17th hole, that little island green. And before I get your take on that, Jay, I just want to refresh our listeners' memory. The sand around that green was so good that Pete Dye kept taking more sand and putting it out on the golf course. And then all of a sudden he says, now what do I do? I don't have enough room for a green here. And his wife, Alice, said, why don't you make that an island green? And lo and behold, it's now easily one of the, between the 12th hole at Augusta and 17th at TPC Sawgrass.
I agree, Bob, that probably the two most iconic holes, certainly the two maybe most iconic par threes in the game of golf, and the wind will be the key there at 17. And a side note, what used to be kind of a thing the pros did for the caddies back when they weren't making as much money as they do today, they'd let the pros hit a, I mean, they'd let the caddies hit a shot on 17 on Wednesday, and closest to the hole won the pot, and nobody would really talk about how much was in that pot. Well, now they've turned it around and are making money for charity, and that's going on the day before the tournament. I know you got to talk to Commissioner Monahan. A whole lot's going on with the state of the PGA Tour.
Exciting times ahead. In case our listeners have not heard the news, but earlier in the week, Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour completed their negotiations with NBC, with CBS, ESPN's coming aboard. They're signed now through 2030, which is an incredible number. And Jay Monahan, and I also have it from other sources, Mr. Randolph, that 2 years from now, the purse here at the Players' Championship is going to be $25 million.
Wow. I saw where he said within the next 8 years, the FedEx Cup will triple to where somebody will win $30 million. The money is astronomical. It's hard for me to comprehend it, but it's amazing. The health of our game, the health of our tour, and these young players, Bob, are the driving force. Let's not forget, and we're talking about it now, you know, you're a heartbeat away from losing the drawing card. The beauty in Tiger Woods, the beauty of what's happened the last couple of years as Tiger has come back is we've had so many wonderful players and so many good stories.
I agree with you there, Jay. Here's something that they're going to unveil this week, but it's going to be a mainstay on the PGA Tour, and people that love to bet on golf are going to have the opportunity certainly to do so. But what they're striving for is every player, every shot carried on TV. I mean, when I say that, I shake my head. What is your reaction?
Bob, I used to go to the television station with my dad on Thursdays, and they had what was called a ticker. And that ticker would every 30 minutes print what it would just print out the scores from the PGA Tour event. And I'm talking about the finish scores. There wasn't any plus twos through three. And you'd have to pull the paper off, you know, when I was 7 or 8 years old. If I want to tomorrow, I can watch any player in the field hit every shot that they take. How about if you're somebody's swing coach? You know, hey, no, I don't have to fly to watch you play. I'll just watch you on the every shot feature. And it's almost like they're downplaying a little bit because you start to think how many shots that is. Think about how many shots of every player in the field are going to be captured.
What astonishes me, Jay, is the fact that very soon, within the next couple of years, anybody that comes onto the PGA Tour for their entire career, every shot is going to be recorded and stored. So, you know, you play on
forever.
The tour 10 years, you want to see what you did at an event 5 years ago, you dial it up, and you watch yourself hit every shot in that tournament. I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Bob, I once had a few too many drinks with terrible Tommy Bolt, one of the great guys of all time on the PGA Tour. I can't imagine in 1993 when I was with him, Tommy saying, hey, let me pull up a shot I hit back in 43. I mean, the technology is wild. Every guy's going to have his own channel, essentially.
The benefit to the viewers, which is what they're predicating all of this initiative on, you're going to be able to sit at home, and Justin Thomas has a birdie putt on 17, and you can bet whether he's going to make it or whether he's going to miss it. You can bet whether it's going to be a one putt or a three putt. I mean, it's just amazing what the future viewers are going to be privy to.
There's a reason why that 20 purse is going to be $25 million. PGA Tour's got ahead of it. They've got partnerships. They're gonna get revenue from it as well. Well, Bob, the coronavirus is the number one topic in the world right now, and certainly in the U.S. The PGA Tour has consulted with the CDC in Atlanta and the World Health Organization, and the show will go on this week, and it will be exciting. We'll see what's going to happen. I think the fact it's an outdoor event rather than an indoor thing is a huge difference, but let's hope everybody is safe.
The safety of the fans has to be the number one priority.
Well, we hope they'll be safe in our next segment, because the mouth that roars is coming out. He's ready to go. After a brief timeout, we'll hear from MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli right here in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
In the Grill Room right now, a gentleman that I actually met quite a few number of years ago. He had never had a microphone in front of him, and we worked hard and, you know, trained him as best we could. It led to him being a star on Golf Channel, and now he does one takes on Morning Read. He happens to be the founder and publisher. His name is Alex Maselli. And at the Players Championship, Alex and I just returned from the State of the Union address, I would call it, by Jay Monahan, the current commissioner of the PGA Tour. Any surprises, Alex, on what Jay had to say?
Well, not really, Bob. I think that when you're an organization like the PGA Tour and everything seems to be going well, even the fact that the coronavirus doesn't seem to be stopping you, that your plan is to continue with all your tournaments unless something completely goes off the rails. You just signed a new deal, television rights deal, that's going to take you over $700 to $800 million a year, which is almost double what you had before. Your sponsors are all signed up. I mean, I don't know how you could not be happy with where you are as a commissioner.
You know, one thing that surprised me, I've been hearing grumblings over the last couple of years as the TV deal was going down, that the networks were losing a little bit of interest in covering golf. But then he springs us this news on us, and, you know, they're signing up for longer, they're signing up for more money. So obviously anything that I was hearing that TV was losing interest was erroneous.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think TV was losing interest. And in fact, if you look at it from a dollars and cents standpoint, in regards to how much programming you can get, the PGA Tour is a pretty good deal comparatively, where you're looking at the possibility of having to spend $3 billion annually on the NFL, which is what CBS and Fox are going to be looking at, NBC as well, when the new TV deal gets started to get negotiated if the CBA goes through. So I think that that's wrong. What I do think is that, you know, if you're the Golf Channel, it's great for you, but it's also costing you a lot of money, and this is the problem. The money that you're spending now on your rights fees, if you're NBC, CBS, ESPN Plus, or the Golf Channel, you have to pass that along to somebody. And in the case of ESPN, it'll be to the subscriber. In the case of the Golf Channel, it's going to be through the cable outfits, but it's also going to be through advertising, as well as it's for networks, NBC and CBS. Those costs come down to the advertiser, which in some cases are the equipment manufacturers, and those costs even get extended down even further to us as a consumer. So to watch PGA Tour coverage over the next 8 years after once the deal goes into play in 2022, it's going to cost us as a consumer more to do that.
Alex, as somebody with, you know, I think an acute pulse on this game, betting on golf, it almost seems like two opposing camps deciding to come together. In your heart, do you think gambling and golf is a good marriage?
Well, I think gambling and golf have been together since day one, practically. I mean, especially not in the professional ways, or people think about it, but in the amateur ways. Think how many times you're always gambling on the golf course if you're an amateur golfer. I mean, that is just part and parcel of what we do. Now, what we're doing is taking that and bringing it to the professional game. And this game, the way the timing is, the way the cadence is of this game, it's a perfect game for gambling on the professional level. Just like baseball is a perfect game in that cadence on the professional level to have gambling. Not true with other sports, but golf and gambling have been growing together for years and years and years, and we're finally finally going ahead and consecrating the marriage that's been out there forever.
Actually, I'm a little disappointed I asked that question. It brings back bitter memories of all the monies that went from my wallet into Alex Maselli's wallet. One last thing before we let you go.
Well, I want to just remember, I think it was ruffled feathers. I'll
yeah,
just go
you
right
made
there.
About a 40-foot putt. I remember that. There's two shots I remember. A 40-foot putt you made at Ruffled Feathers and a hole-in-one that you made at on Lanai in Hawaii. His first hole-in-one, you'd think he had won $1 million. But anyway, a topic that was brought up, it's part of every discussion almost of golf now, is the Greg Norman idea of a something else, a viable alternative, they say, to the PGA Tour, professional golf league. Any traction whatsoever from your perspective?
Well, I don't want to say it's dead in the water, because the people that are funding it, meaning the Saudis and SoftBank, which is an investment group out of Japan that has a lot of money, I don't want to say it's dead in the water because of them. But if it was anybody else involved running the show on the other side, I would say it's dead in the water. I think it's on clearly on life support right now, and I know Phil Mickelson is counting the dollars he could make if he, in fact, joins this PGL, which I think he really would like to do. But everyone else, every other player that's under 50, basically under 40, has no interest in doing this. And if that's going to be the case, it's just not going to happen.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.